Welcome, artists, art lovers, and dreamers, to Somewhere and Elsewhere, where we uncover stories from artists across the coastal region.
I'm Terrell Williams.
And I'm Kevin Lee White Green, your host here on the Shoresides program, Somewhere and Elsewhere. Today, we are with Drew Richard, who is... Tell us a little bit about yourself, Drew. Who are you?
I'm a filmmaker sometimes. but I'm a dad. That's really it. I'm a dad.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and as well as like your company or your organization?
My company is called Rich North Digital. We do film production, photography, all kinds of stuff. We shot like 3 or 4 movies last year. And from the north side, Wilmington, North Carolina, born and raised.
What initially sparked your interest in filmmaking?
I started up doing music over 10 years ago, and I got tired of waiting for people. So what happened was my first 2 or 3 music videos, Jamie shot for me, and then... this other guy was waiting on like weeks and weeks for him to shoot my video. Edit my video. It just took too long. And so I actually paid him to do another video just to see what he did. And then I learned how to do that. And then it just took off from there. I just started loving the camera. So I stopped making music and just started filming.
Do you write some of your films? Like, are you a screenplay writer? You write all of them?
Yeah.
So you're not only a filmmaker.
You're a screenwriter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. What got you into like screenwriting?
My first project I did in like 2014, 15, it was called City Limits. And what happened was my kid's mom at the time was in the hospital, and I was trying to think of like some motivational stuff. So I started writing like a motivational book. And then I put it out. And then I said, okay, I want to write another book, but this time I want to try to actually write a book. And I had all these characters. And I got lazy, and I was like, why don't I just film this? Because I'm not going to follow through with writing. And then I called Jamie. I was like, hey, I need you to film this first episode, this pilot. And we shot it in a weekend, put it out. And everybody loved it. It was like, we ready for episode 2. And I didn't have no script. So now I had to actually write a script, because the first one, it was kind of just like, say this, you're going to say this, you're going to say this, and then we're going to put it together. So then I started trying to write. It was all wrong. Like, I wrote it the wrong way. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just writing stuff. And I had to learn how to, the structure of a script and everything like that. And we ended up doing like 3 seasons of it.
Wow. Where did you get the inspiration to write each episode, and where can you stream this?
The inspiration came from growing up here in Wilmington, especially on the north side. Like, a lot of those stories were just inspired by being on the north side. And it was more or less to be a bridge from the older people and the younger people. So that's why we had parents going through what they're going through, and then the teenagers going through what they're going through, showing like this happens with teens that you guys don't know, and then show the teens like your parents go through shit, stuff too. So that's what it really was. Sorry, I cuss a lot.
You're fine. And so where were people able to watch this series?
So it was on YouTube originally. Like, it was getting 10 to 15,000 views episodes, and then page got hacked and we had to take it down. Mm-hmm. But now it's just sitting on a hard drive, and one day I'll put it back up.
Nice.
Have you thought about putting on any other platforms, like any ones that specifically draw your eye to it?
I could see that on like a Tubi or something like that. And I think what it is, as a creator, when you make something so long ago, like this is again like 2014, 2015, and now it's 2024. It's like cringy. It's like the quality. I didn't know what I knew. So it's like, to me, it's like quality is like, I don't really want to
hold it in the coffers.
Yeah.
What pivotal moment or experience in your life significantly shaped who you are today? And how did you grow from it?
Honestly, I'm going through it now. This is the first time I actually talk about it, but like, so I went through a period of trying to please everybody, make sure everybody's in these movies, make sure this, the, you know what I'm saying, make this type of movie, do this. And I kind of lost myself with trying to make it, in a sense. So I started doing movies that aren't really me. Like, I'm more of the positive, happy-go-lucky type of. So when I'm doing stuff that's over-sexualized, a lot of cursing, a lot, like even with City Limits, if you watched it back in the day, I would not allow anyone to curse. I don't care what, it can be somebody getting shot at anything, you still wouldn't be able to curse. So doing these things now, it took me to a dark place where I haven't filmed anything in a while, because that just, I just got lost. And when you go through stuff like that, and personal stuff too, breaking up with someone after 10 years, it just, everything just gets cloudy. So now I'm learning to kind of just reset, refocus, and I'm just having fun now, kind of like starting over without all the access noise and everything.
You said you were a dad. So yeah, tell us how times. You three times. Wow. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. How do you balance that with your work?
Work comes second, maybe third, because it's my kids, then myself, and then work. The order used to be my kids and then work, then me, but I'm learning to love myself first, and then everything else comes. But with my kids, man, they're above everything. I have three daughters. They all have the same birthday. Twins, and then a 14-year-old. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough, man, having daughters.
But, being a girl dad.
Yeah, it's rough, man. But I love it, man. They inspire me more than anything. So,
have you found doing your work here in the coastal region to be difficult? Or challenging?
I would say it's challenging, depending on your mindset. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think, because, I mean, we go right up the street, there's this big film studio, so everybody thinks, okay, I can just be a superstar because we had the studio right there. But you gotta realize, like, you gotta put the work in, and everything is information based. Like, you gotta know this person, and then you gotta get to know this person to get to know this person or this person. So I wouldn't say like a challenge. I would say just you gotta network. That's the biggest challenge. People are afraid to network. They want to skip the lines, or they wanna, you know what I'm saying, think they can rub shoulders with a certain person, and then it just changes everything.
Right. Okay.
How did you overcome those barriers that kept you from getting through in the networking situations?
Working. I think when you work, your name starts coming up in different circles where you don't have to introduce yourself as much. And I think that's the point that people miss a lot. I used to miss it back in the day a long time ago, because I'm like, yo, I know you can help me, but you choose not to help me, and you know I'm trying. But once I got older and realized, like, you know, you got to work and get your name out there. Like, that's just the thing. Like, you can't shortcut anything. You can't be doing that.
Well, I know for me personally, as an artist, there have been times that I have felt I needed to give up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure as an artist too, you've come to that place. How do you navigate those feelings, and how do you, you know, push through? Because clearly you have.
Yeah. I keep it simple now, man. I keep everything simple. I focus on the day. I used to focus on this big end goal, but now it's just like, I really have to just, today I got to focus on trying to have a good day today. Mm. And let tomorrow be whatever it's going to be. Like, that's simple. I have to keep it super simple for myself now. And stay away from people like Kevin, who stress me out 24/7.
So how can people get involved with your filmmaking process?
I don't like people. I don't. No, I'm just playing. No, I really don't like people like that. I think, man, they can get involved when I start working again. Mm. Like, I took a long break because this last one, it took a toll on me. Actors thinking that they are, well, a little too entitled. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, well, I'll step away. And then you can go figure it out. So now with me, I really just want to work with people with pure intentions. Like, they want to see the project do something. They don't want it to just be a quick money grab. Like, I'm going to go out here so I can get paid. You know what I mean? Like, that's truthfully how I feel. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, once I do decide to come out, I'm like fine comb and everything. Like, I'm checking your heart. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your talent. Because you can give anybody some lines, really, and make them get exposure. Mm-hmm.
Now, this last project, was it something, you know, you wrote to on top of it?
Work Wife.
Mm, that one was the one that presented all the challenges?
Yeah. So, Work Wife, yeah, I wrote that too. Again, it's once you get involved with industries and distribution stuff and they kind of like say, this is what we the type stuff we're looking for, you fall into that trap. And while a lot of people like went viral, a lot of people like it, I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. If I didn't write it and didn't make it, maybe I probably would have liked it, but I didn't like it. It was because I don't do the over sexualized stuff. I don't do really like drama type stuff. So,
well, that's kind of interesting that you're bringing up not liking something.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens a lot,
yeah,
as artists, but like what are some of the things that make you not like a project that you've created? Like, is there something in particular that you're looking for that presents that or causes you to pass that judgment on your work?
I know from out the gate, like, the vibes of it. Like, when I wrote it, I was like, I already knew, like, this is what I was writing it with them in mind. Like, this is what they want. Mm. You know what I mean? So I already knew from the jump, like, this, I wasn't going to like it. Mm. You know what I mean? So I didn't do a half-assed job with it, but I just knew I wasn't going to like it. Mm. And I judged everything off if anybody knows, you know, I'm very, 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 very close to my grandmother. So anything I do, she should be able to watch it. I can't show my grandmother that. And that's a God honest truth. So anything I can't show my grandmother, I'll...
Yeah, it's about the quality of it for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that most Black filmmakers are... Should I say, like, would you say, like, you're an indie filmmaker? Like, what
kind? Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay.
So would you say that most Black indie filmmakers are trying to meet an expectation? Or do you think that everybody is really, like, well, the majority are trying to push the envelope and go past that?
I don't think there's any envelopes being pushed. I think that there's just a pool that's right there and everybody's jumping in that one pool because everybody wants to get seen. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at, Kev, you know I'm honest. Oh my gosh.
But that's the whole point of this podcast.
So like, say, I'm on there. So if you look at Tubi, for instance, right? if you look at majority of the stuff that be on Tubi, you can just look at the cover art. Everybody's cover art looks kind of similar. Mm-hmm. The movies that are being made by our people, drugs, gun, drama, sex, that's it. So everybody's jumping in this one pool because they want to just be seen. Like, my before this movie, my other two movies was kind of pushing the envelope because I did like a suspense horror movie with black people in the cab in the woods, and then that one, and then I did a detective comedy type of movie. So that was totally different from what they're doing. So I think it's just that they're just trying to get. I think all these filmmakers just want they want the exposure. So I don't think it's what they want to continue doing. I think it's just let me get seen first, and then I can kind of.
And they believe that they do the art, the work, and then they think they'll catch the big wave on the end, on the backside of it.
And then they can do their own original thing, which, I mean, I'm sure some of them probably will, but majority of them will probably keep getting put to the ring where you got to keep doing it. And
it's like a common thing with recording artists and filmmakers. You end up with the same type of stories a lot of the times from same directors, and it's like, why?
Yeah. And not taking any credit away, because I'm sure a lot of these filmmakers are dope. I just think that they feel like, well, I got to do this first and then I can do that. So,
well, that leads me to my next question then. What changes need to happen to the arts community? I mean, what would you like to see happen in coastal North Carolina?
I think more, I'm starting to see it a little bit, even in Wilmington, just a little bit more, but I think more collaboration, because if you think about it, if you look at the filmmakers just in Wilmington, the black filmmakers in Wilmington, imagine if all us came together and worked as a production. We could have our own black studio here and push out all these projects that we want as a collective, and it would be amazing. But somebody has to be the leader. In a bad way. That's the problem. Like, it's not like, okay, us three, we can come together and do this. It's going to be a group, and it's going to be like, well, I think I should be the one to be the leader. And it's not going to, I don't think it's going to work like that. Because
why do you think that is? Ego?
Ego. Mm-hmm. I think it's ego. If we just solely just take talent and push it all together, we can do it. Like, no resumes involved, no who's done it the longest, none. I've done this, I've done that. Solely, you know how to do a good thing, I know how to do a good thing, let's work. But it's not, if we could get that, then we could have a big ass, a big studio here. And push out movies and TV shows and.
Well, you know, what is sustaining you? Because, I mean, I know you said you took a break. Or a hiatus, so to say. But, like, what is sustaining you?
That's artistically and...
Personally, my kids. Artistically, man. Really, like, I'm hustle any kind of way. Like, I know how to do a lot of different things. I'm an artist. Like, seriously an artist. I can draw. I make custom rugs that sell. I do art sketching. I still do videography on the side, too. Like, so that's
interesting. So this goes back to kind of my whole belief that most artists are multi-hyphenates.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. You do, so you're like visual arts, multimedia. Yeah. That's good.
And we have to, you know how it goes. Like, we have to learn how to do more than one thing. Because we can't afford to have everybody, we can't afford to pay everybody to do every single thing that we want to do. Yeah. So we generally just have to learn how to do these things naturally. So Jamie, tell you right now, he can put a camera on my head and I can do something, do it with it visually. I can take pictures. I can do graphic design. I can do audio recording, like mixing, master. I know how to do all that stuff. So it's just like.
It's like learn your craft.
Yeah.
You're speaking of Jamie Hansen?
Yeah. Of course.
Good guy.
Some days.
So how can people get involved and support your work?
Man, that's probably the only question I don't have an answer for. I really don't. I don't know.
Can they follow you anywhere? Do you have any, like...
Oh, I mean, yeah. TikTok, IG. I have a huge following on TikTok. But TikTok, IG, at Just Drew TV. YouTube at Just Drew TV. I am going to start putting content on my page because I have thousands of subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I need to start putting content up there. Facebook is Drew Richard, but outside of that, man, just catch me when you catch me.
One second, Drew.
And Kevin was supposed to be in my projects, but he turned it down.
That is not
do whatever
true.
You was gonna do. We gotta do all that.
It's been brought to my attention that you are an arts educator. Tell me about your programs and who you work with.
Yeah, I teach videography at Dreams. Mm-hmm. It's a cool place. Like, I didn't originally, when I was presented with being a teacher at Dreams, I said no, because I thought it was a daycare. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I don't know why I always thought it was a daycare. And then when I went in there and they showed me and they had all this different stuff, that's why I had to run in. The person I don't like the most is right across from the class I teach. It's Kevin. I agree. And he blasts his music when I'm trying. You can hear his music blasting through the hallway. I can't even teach my class because he's blasting the music. Has it sound like a club in there? And we have to go out. Nah, I'm just saying. But nah, it's a cool place. And just being able to teach kids and them being able to learn stuff that we didn't really get a chance to learn until we were younger. Like, we had mm-hmm. to grow up and then decide what we wanted to do. They're getting it right then and there. So I think that's really, really dope.
So they're like prepared before they even go.
Yeah. And they learn. They learn so fast. Scary how fast they learn. Yeah.
So do you feel like your experiences have shaped how you approach your way of teaching?
Yeah.
Like, most what are definitely. Some of the things you expect them to take away from your class?
Well, the first thing is have fun. I think they fear what they don't know, and so they're scared to mess up. Mm. And I'm like, you have to, like, when I tell, like, so one of the things that I always tell them is how I approach things. So, like, when we're learning video editing and stuff like that, Push every button. See what it, like, even with the camera, push the button or push it, see what it does, because you're not going to know. Like, you don't know unless I tell you. So figure out what this does. Because I still, today, like, I'll push a button on something quick just to see what it does. And so I'll know whether I like it or not. But yeah, just letting them know it's okay to mess up, and they got to be willing to figure out some stuff. Is that what you, how do you approach your kids? Because I see you blasting music and having mocktails and
I meet them where they are. I get what I need across. And then I also meet them where they are, like where their interests lie. And that's how I find the balance. But I also let them know that there is so much more to the art form of dance than you know, what they see on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah. And that's how I know that's what kind of gauges me to know if today we're doing a good job or not. If nobody's on their phones, I'm doing good. Yeah. If I see somebody is just like looking at their phone, I'm like, okay, I got to switch up. So I got to do something real quick to make them get on their phone.
Well, it's kind of hard because you're like trying to draw on an interest that has been built on instant gratification.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. But kids will let you know.
Well, Drew, this has been an honor. It's been...
He's reading this, you guys. He don't.
I am this. Not. I Kevin don't. Listen, look. It is not there.
Okay, he's telling the truth.
again, we thank you, Drew, for joining us here at Somewhere and Elsewhere. And thank you for sharing your experiences and being here.
Thank you. Thank you. And I was on time. I'm usually late.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Somewhere and Elsewhere. Listening to Drew Richard, we're reminded that it is important to hold up the very integrity that we have as a people to tell our stories authentically and show the other sides of us that other people aren't used to seeing, and to stay away from stereotypes.
Join us again next time as we share more stories and continue hearing stories from across coastal North Carolina's arts community.
Remember, dear listeners, arts happens everywhere if you know where to look. Until then, keep your hearts open, your minds curious, and your spirits adventurous. This is Kevin and Terrell signing off from Somewhere and Elsewhere. Safe travels. Somewhere and Elsewhere is a podcast of Shoresides. Learn more about our work at www.shoresides.org.